All right, back to the show they pay us for, Greg. Pay attention.
Okay, all right.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. Yeah, we know it's Monday and we're going to make it great. That's what we do. It's 9:07 right now, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here.
Hey.
And nearly 25% of U.S. workers are functionally unemployed. What?
Functionally. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The nation's unemployment rate fell to 4.1% in July, well within the range economists consider healthy. Yet, that measure, which reflects a percentage of people over the age of 16 who don't have a job and who are looking for work, is an imprecise metric that fails to offer a full picture of the health of the job sector, according to Gene Ludwig, chairman of the Ludwig Institute for Shared Economic Prosperity. The economic research firm's true rate of unemployment seeks to capture the share of workers that the group defines as functionally unemployed. It includes not only people who are unemployed and looking for a job, but also those who are involuntarily working part-time and who are earning poverty-level wages or less than $26,000 annually before taxes. Functional unemployment across the U.S. has climbed four straight months and stood at 24.9% as of July, although that's down from 25.2% in December. We shouldn't read too much into a single month, but 4 months begin to tell a story, Ludwig said in a statement Thursday. Functional unemployment is moving higher while workforce participation is moving lower. If this continues, it would suggest that the labor market is losing strength, despite what we may see in the headline unemployment numbers. Interesting. This is from Money Watch and via CBS News. Are they just trying to cast stones at the economy? Are they saying it is weaker than it appears? I'm not sure if that's part of their agenda, but I can look at this stuff statistically and tell you that, yes, I think that this could be concerning. And again, yeah, if you got 4 months of data that reflects that high of a number, yeah, that would you would say there's something going in the wrong direction here. Ludwig says in a strong labor market, good jobs and rising wages should bring more people into the workforce, not fewer. We need to pay attention when that starts moving in the other direction. It could be a sign that people aren't finding the opportunities they want or need, which matters for the broader economy. Other economists caution against putting too much weight on alternative measures of the labor market health. An unemployment rate that would be in the 20% range does not line up with anything we see in the U.S. economy. Employers around the country unexpectedly cut 23,000 jobs in July, undershooting economists' expectations and signaling that the job market may be slowing. Meanwhile, although unemployment is low by historical benchmarks, many Americans continue to grapple with the impact of high inflation. The consumer price index rose at an annual pace of 3.4%, while wages rose at an annual rate of 3.2%. Yeah, I think that there is some nitpicking on the economy, and I think that you're going to see more of this as we head toward the midterms because, you know, if you believe that economically we could do better, but we're on pretty solid ground, that's going to bode better for the Republicans in general, I would think.
Yeah.
And we know that one of these inflationary factors is the price of gasoline. And frankly, until you get either a complete regime change or at least a partial change in Iran, you're going to continue to see those prices more on the higher side. And people feel that. And they're going to vote to some extent with their pocketbook. Although, got to tell you, with all the other issues that seem to be in play and the direction that the Democrat Party wants to take a lot of people, including the Democratic Socialists, I think that the Republicans might actually be in a pretty good spot.
We hope.
We hope.
We do.
Hey, Kyle Kirkwood, he is your champ. He won the Freedom 250 Grand Prix in Washington after President Trump and the First Lady. They took an honorary lap to kick off the event. And I got to tell you, she looked good on the hood of that Formula One car.
Yes, but you got to hold on really tight.
You really do. And she shouldn't have wore a dress either. At least she had some knickers on under there.
Yeah, knickers.
No, they rode around in the Beast.
The Beast.
The Beast. And 1.7-mile course over some kind of bumpy roads.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be brutal when you're traveling at the speeds that these race cars do. But anyway, it ended up being 147 laps to turn into 250 miles. And there was a field of 25 drivers. And so Kirkwood is the winner.
Nice.
He just happens to be American.
Gotta love it.
And he's going to cherish this one because there'll never be another race like it.
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, there might be the 251 next year.
Yes, it won't be the same.
But could they do that every year just to raise it 1 mile in 1 year?
They could. Don't give the president any ideas. He'll try to get him to do it.
Well, he is going to be there for two more years, so
Maybe
he will. Fast-moving wildfire, you've probably already heard Reno. It's not showing any signs of getting much better. They've had some high winds. They've got 11,000 acres already engulfed. They've got people that are, you know, leaving the area. It's getting into some residential areas. It is
scary stuff.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a good deal, casinos in Reno are offering discounts for rooms.
Wow.
It's actually designed for those that are vacating their homes.
Yeah.
To stay in the rooms.
Idea. That is nice that you're doing that, though.
I was thinking, the room could be cheap.
Yeah.
But then the roulette wheel and Betsy usually make for a not a good combination for my wallet.
Really?
Hmm. At least
you know going in what to expect.
Yeah, it's not excessive because there's nothing to be excessive with.
You have to have it to give it up.
You got to have money to waste money, Greg.
Yes, that's what I hear.
That's what my dad taught me.
Oh, yeah, but then our generation learned all about debt.
And financing. How to accrue more debt.
Absolutely. We know how to do that.
Now, I've been, knock on wood, I've been good so far. No credit card balance.
Look at you.
I've kept that down now for a while. So I don't have a...
It's all going somewhere else.
I don't have a pot or a panda.
Yeah.
You know.
But you don't have a credit card bill.
Correct.
That's good.
Homeland Security special agents arrested at 38-year-old Pedro Guadarrama Loza, convicted felon, previously deported Mexican national. And they busted this guy with 275 pounds of methamphetamine shipped from Mexico.
A lot.
Basically, it was a package coming from Mexico, and the folks at the border, you know, they got a little sniffing thing going on or whatever. But
all
they
right.
said, "Yeah, this looks a little suspicious." They looked at it and they go, "Why, this looks like methamphetamine." They tested it and it was. But being nice, they still said, you know, nobody wants to miss their Amazon package.
Oh no!
So they still sent it on its way, which is nice. And they're like. Special delivery.
See, the feds are
special
nice.
Special delivery.
They're nice.
And then when the guy came out and accepted the package, it wasn't soon after that all the agents came in, and it was a surprise party of sorts, but, you know, not the kind that ends with cake. It ends with a shiny pair of bracelets.
Yeah. Right.
And so they arrested this guy, Loza. According to... the authorities, Loza is no stranger to law enforcement, according to ICE. He claims to have initially made his illegal entry in Texas 2004.
Oh, wow.
But wait.
What?
He was deported to Mexico for the first time May of 2008.
First time.
Yeah, and then came back again and was living in DeKalb County, Georgia, Gainesville, Georgia. Hmm. That's where he received the package. So there's a market for 275 pounds of meth in and around Gainesville, Georgia.
Apparently
it's kind of frightening.
It's worth sneaking back in the country again for, apparently.
That's not a big town. Or is it really headed more toward like Atlanta?
Just a little stop on the way.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's some nasty stuff. And at least we'll get him out of here for now.
Again, yeah, right.
So you get a Democrat president and the mess starts all over again. Make no mistake about it. That's exactly what will happen. 9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got plenty more to talk about, including a man firing gunshots at a Jewish summer camp Yeah, you can't do that. Details coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Oh, is it like P.T. Barnum or whatever said any kind of publicity is good publicity? Did I get that right? Something basically. 9:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. So I guess the WNBA, if any kind of, write-up or anybody talking about you is a good thing, from a marketing perspective, then they must be doing very, very well because they have been in the news a lot lately and not just the sports page. You know, recently Enes Kanter Freedom was thrown out of a WNBA game. But it was actually the Chicago Sky player, Natasha Cloud, that was getting nasty with him. But they tossed him instead. He said, I'm just here to help out women. You know, he's one of the guys that signed up for the WNBA draft, former NBA player. And, you know, of course, he's doing it as a stunt to prove a point. But he also, he'll take to court if, if they allow him to. The WNBA, they still can't figure it out. They go, oh, but we're so pro-trans, we're so pro... You can be for trans and still have rules applying to the women that are playing on your basketball teams for their own physical protection. You can, I believe you can do that. I believe that you can separate those things and not be a hater in any way, shape, or form. But somehow they just can't quite figure that out. I guess because perhaps maybe they've been calling names of anybody who, you know, says, look, here's a resolution that would probably be the best for, you know, as close as we can get to the best for all involved. No, that's not good enough. So here's another story related to WNBA. Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, warned WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbart on Engelbert Friday that the league may expose itself to legal liability by silencing fans who support fairness in women's sports, citing two recent incidents involving supporters of Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham. The conservative legal group made its case in a letter to Engelbert. It argued the WNBA has betrayed its commitment to open dialogue. The league could face liability under the First Amendment and public accommodation laws, the ADF wrote, because it singled out fans for their views but allowed opposing messages to stand. And that's a no-no. The message these incidents send is clear. Fans who know what it means to be a woman and who support fairness in women's sports aren't welcome at WNBA games. ADF pointed to a game between Atlanta Dream and the Fever. Security personnel approached a mother and her 17-year-old daughter there and told them to cover their clothing or leave. The pair wore shirts branded with the XXXY Athletics, a company that says it works to protect women's sports. Security described the shirts as offensive. According to Fox News, although the guard cited neither the arena's prohibited items list nor its fan conduct code, the WNBA did later acknowledge the encounter. They're aware of the interactions in last night's game in Atlanta was a statement they put out in which fans were asked by league security to cover their shirts. This should not have happened. That was from a league spokesperson. The Atlanta Dream distanced itself from the decision, saying its personnel was not involved. Ugh. So these people, what is it? If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything? Yeah. Why is it so hard? Just do the right thing and say, we love people of all stripes, all backgrounds, whatever they consider themselves gender-wise, we don't care. You're all welcome at the WNBA. But in terms of playing, we're going to protect the rights of the women. That's why we have a WNBA. And then you have an NBA. See how that works?
Well, it used to be so simple, and they've made it really confusing.
Well, yeah, they're confused by their own confusion, yes, is basically what it is. Yep. Mark Ruffalo, he's He's one of those lefty, loudmouths had anti-Semitic comments that he made. He attacked Larry and David Ellison as oligarchs who are complicit in Israel's supposed genocide in Gaza and blasted the proposed merger of Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery. But on Saturday, three pro-Jewish organizations came out in support of Paramount's reply. See, Paramount addressed it. And they said, "We commend Paramount for speaking clearly and refusing to allow prejudice to masquerade as political or corporate criticism." The Simon Wiesenthal Center said in a statement, "At a time when anti-Semitism is too often minimized, rationalized, or repackaged in more socially acceptable language, this kind of moral clarity matters. Invoking Israel as an issue where it's completely irrelevant is a textbook case of obsession and demonization. Paramount was right to call it out. More leaders and institutions should have the courage to call anti-Semitism what it is, regardless of who is spreading it." Oh yeah, I've heard certain terms and a masquerading and beating around the bush of anti-Semitism before.
Oh yeah,
and I know I won't put up with it. And here's why. Here's one of the reasons why. This kind of rhetoric from somebody like a Ruffalo, even though he's just some bozo actor, somebody could take his statements, quite seriously and very literally. Well, a man in Maine allegedly fired several gunshots at a Jewish summer camp earlier this month. This was Belgrade, Maine. 36-year-old Nathan Hewitt launched into a drunken anti-Semitic attack and fired several shots toward the camp basketball courts. He's 36 years old. They say he fired several rounds, triggered a lockdown. There were kids as young as seven that were there. Hewitt was arrested, later released on bail. Reports indicating that his father has since been harassing employees at the camp. His father.
Wow.
So he's on a drunken rampage. He fires shots into the camp. He gets out on bail. So now his dad goes back, and he's like torturing and harassing the people there.
Oh, my goodness.
He's screaming at us from the property line. And he claims that his tractor was damaged after hitting something, and somehow he blames that on the camp.
Okay.
I'd have that water tested near the camp just to make sure.
Yeah, maybe a little too much lead. There's something in there.
Too much lead. Hey, Donnie must be watching or listening to Mark. I'm talking about the Wahlberg brothers.
I thought he was talking about Donnie Marie for a minute or something.
No.
Okay.
Donnie and his brother Mark Wahlberg. Because, he does that prayer thing, Mark does. Well, Donnie's doing it now, too. He's getting baptized, along with his wife. I'll give you the whole story. It's coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 9:36 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Greg,
yes.
What time did you eat your first meal today?
I had a protein shake at 3:30.
Ooh, you're not even within the confines of this study.
Well, I get up in the middle of the night, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, for us with our changed schedule, I don't know how valuable this information is, but they studied like 30,000 people. Basically, when you ate your first meal and your last meal, and how that may coincide with, overall health, cardiovascular issues, whatever. Here's the bottom line. And yes, I'm oversimplifying it because if you start to read through it, you're getting the weeds pretty quick. And like you say, there are a lot of other overriding factors too, lifestyle and stuff. But according to the study, compared with eating between 7 and 8 a.m., which I guess is one of the best options, a first meal between 8 and 10 a.m., just a little bit later, was associated with a 10% higher risk of death from any cause.
Wow.
The difference rose to 19% between 10 a.m. and noon, and 29% after noon.
Hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
Eating for the first time after noon was associated with a 46% higher risk of cardiovascular death than eating between 7 and 8 a.m.
Wow.
At age 50, the later group also had an estimated life expectancy 2.46 years shorter on average. So, yes, it is a study that there's so many variables, but they did study like 30,000 people. And basically saying you want to get that first meal in, you know, earlier rather than later. And I don't know how that impacts studies that they've done on, say, like fasting, that you don't eat your first meal until noon, which I know in some lifestyles kind of popular, or was popular at least for a while, I know. But this is what the study said. And it involved, like I said, 30,000 people of, you know, different ages and all that. But I don't know how they can compare that to, it should be associated with the time you rise. Like, like if you rise at, you know, like we do early in the 3 o'clock hour.
Right.
Let's just say you're an early riser and you get up at 5. Does that mean you should be eating between 6 and 7? Or 7 and 8 still optimum? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I just know that generally when I first wake up, I'm not hungry. So I'm not one of those people that can rise and eat right away.
I've always liked breakfast. I guess because maybe just growing up that way, we'd get up, eat breakfast, go to school, you know, so.
Well, I did that too, but it wasn't like rolling out of bed and walking sleepily to the kitchen table.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'd get everything, take my shower and get dressed
first. Yeah.
Then have my breakfast, then I'm out the door.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, I guess you can look up the information for yourself. I got this from ScienceAlert.com. Yep. I mentioned this earlier. Actor Donnie Wahlberg and his wife Jenny McCarthy posted a video to celebrate their baptism into the Christian faith this week. It was on Monday. They posted a video celebrating their new lives in Christ. Christian Post reported, "Looking back over the past year of my life, the Lord has been renewing my mind, rebuilding my spirit, rearranging my priorities, recentering my focus, recharging my energy, reshaping my heart, refining my faith, restoring my joy, and redeeming my life."
Yeah,
wow.
There you go.
That's a mouthful.
Yep.
He put that on his Instagram followers, which he has a substantial amount, 2.3 million.
Oh, that's a few, yeah.
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 So anyway, the pair were baptized by Pastor Dudley Rutherford of Shepherd Church, a non-denominational congregation in Porter Ranch, California. And
very nice.
The actor is best known probably for Boston Blue, you know, the CBS police drama. And before that, he portrayed Detective Danny Reagan on all 14 seasons or so on the CBS drama Blue Bloods.
He had a great role in that one. That was a great show. Great cast overall.
You know, that's a show that because I kind of missed it to begin with, now I'm going to go back.
Oh, it's worth. Yes, it's
and
worth
binge.
It. Yes.
And,
well, it's an all-star cast. The other, very talented.
Tom Selleck, right?
Oh, and his mustache.
And his mustache is in it, too?
Sometimes
he gets separate billing.
Actually, I know.
Depends on what his contract says.
Yeah.
But anyway, good.
You have to pay extra for that.
Good for Donnie Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg, of course, he does stuff for like prayers.com or one of the online things.
Yep.
And he was a little hellraiser when he was younger.
Yeah.
very much so.
You ever been to Wahlburgers?
No. Have you?
Yes.
Where was it?
I'm trying to think if there was one in, were we in Orlando?
That could be. Might have been a tourist town. Yeah,
might have been Orlando and the big complex.
That's his family did that, right? The whole family was involved.
The brothers and the sister, they're all kind of in on it, yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
Really good?
Yeah.
I like good burgers, you know.
I know.
Road trip!
Mm-hmm.
Aw, Shelley Febre. Remember Shelley?
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was very, very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the Donna Reed Show. Wow.
That's going
and
back.
She passed away, 82. She died Saturday in L.A., her family said to the Associated Press. And they said nice things, of course, as you do. She started in 1944, acting as a young child. Her first television credit at age 10.
Wow.
The Loretta Young Show.
Wow, yes. Okay.
Yep. She acted with Paul Newman, Frank Sinatra, Eva Marie Saint in a producer showcase production of Our Town. Let's see. She was with Rock Hudson, Never Say Goodbye. She was on an episode of The Twilight Zone. Do you remember the Black Leather Jackets episode? Because I know you're a big fan. Leather Jackets episode of The Twilight Zone.
That one doesn't ring a bell by name, and I'm sure I've seen all of them at some point. Now I got to go look it up.
Yeah. Well, and she's had quite the career.
Black Leather Jackets.
So. Black Leather Jacket. It is 9:42 on the Bob Rose Show. Byron Donalds, stepping up, standing out for conservative values. They tried to put him on the spot for Florida's vaccination policy. And this was Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation. And he pretty much chewed her up and spit her out. She was going after him for that. And he basically said, you know, we wouldn't have these issues of, like, say, the measles coming back if, you know, the previous administration hadn't opened the border wide open. And those people were not vaccinated, didn't have any kind of vaccination schedule at all. He said, Margaret, we've seen the outbreaks in El Paso, Texas, because she was questioning whether, you know, that was correct or not about the illegals and such. He said, we've seen the outbreaks in El Paso, Texas, in southwest Florida, where I live. Many other parts where you know you have a situation, people come into the country illegally, have not had their vaccination schedule, and not the ones today on young kids that parents do have concerns about. I'm talking about previous ones where people weren't even getting the measles vaccine or mumps and rubella. And she said, so you want them to be vaccinated? He said, number one, I want to control immigration into our country. That's what he was trying to say. She kept trying to get around that.
She had her agenda that didn't necessarily match up with his.
Yeah. And she said, okay, so you want vaccinated immigrants. And then he said, actually, what I want is I just want legal immigrants.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. And he said, to be clear, I just want legal immigration with assimilation. Makes a lot of sense. That's probably why she was looking at him sideways like a little puppy poodle, you know?
That cocked head,
perking one ear up like, I think I'm trying to understand what it is you're telling me.
But I might not agree with it. We'll see.
And then you had Anna Paulina Luna talking about the DSA. And discussed this Democratic Socialist of America, and she called it an organization with a platform that uses anti-white rhetoric, is racist, and in some cases anti-Semitic. She said there's a lot of information out there saying, hey, look it, the Republicans have $100+ million in the bank, and Democrats are in debt and have zero. I've long advocated and believe, yes, but you're not paying attention to the NGOs, these non-government organizations, who do seem to find a way to inject themselves into these elections. And Luna replied to that, well, I think Florida in general wants common sense. And I think Byron Donalds, especially bringing out the governor's down ballot race against and contrasting with David Jolly.
Who is not ever very jolly.
Right.
That's true.
And I think that we're actually in very good shape.
Good.
But I actually predicted this, that Angie Nixon, being the nominee, at least in the state of Florida, will bring the Republicans out to vote specifically against her because of the fact that they don't want her radical policies.
Well, hope so. Hope that is the case.
But we are going to milk that chicken for all it's worth because Angie Nixon, she'll be the gift that keeps on giving us, you know, very bizarre, silly things to make fun of her about.
Yeah, this is the woman walking around, you know, on the floor, you know, with her megaphone and just screaming and yelling about how we're killing black people and stuff like that. She's a little cray-cray.
Well,
she's out there.
You know, the good news, you know, on a positive note, is that the Strait of Hormuz is essentially open now.
Nice.
The naval blockade has been very successful of squeezing Iran itself and allowing other traffic to flow. And hopefully with the new economic constraints that we're placing on that country, very good things could be happening. I know you've heard that for a long time, but really I feel like something good is about to happen.
And drop those gas prices.
Well, and maybe I'm just feeling optimistic because I'm getting ready for, you know, things that make you smile.
Well, that'll make you optimistic.
Things to be thankful for, you know, count your blessings kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Guess what, folks? Call in now. You can be a part of it. Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now, 877-975-9825. Things That Make You Smile, next on 97.3 The Sky. Shaping up to be another gorgeous day in paradise, my friends. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is time for Things That Make You Smile. We're looking for upbeat, positive thoughts that you share with us and we share with you. It's brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now, please, 877-975-9825. And Nikki, good morning. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Bob, and good morning, Greg. It's a pleasure to talk to you and having the chance to talk to everybody out there in the radio land. Mm-hmm. Because of this intense heat, my husband and I, we really have to plan things because we don't like to be out in that intense heat. And there's a few things that we're going to be doing for our listeners. A lot of these wineries, sometimes they have shows, they have tours, and sampling the wine. And my husband and I are going to be going to Whispering Oaks Winery in Oxford, Florida. And it's going to be a Motown show. So they're going to, like, have, Smokey Robinson singers and the Four Tops, you know, the Motown sound.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, is that the store called Total Wine, all these Total Wine stores, sometimes they have the wine tasting. It's not that cheap. You pay about $40-something, but you get snacks to go with different types of wines, and you got the option to buy.
Now, if I'm correct, I would say that wine makes Nikki smile.
I'm seeing a pattern, but the snacks apparently are, a little bonus there, too.
Yeah. Talking about my girl. My girl.
Or maybe enough wine. She just...
A little smoky.
Oh, yeah. I love some Smokey Robinson.
Love some Motown, man.
Oh, yeah.
I know a little bit about that.
I can
That's
imagine.
That's my hood, brother.
I can imagine that you would.
Linda, good morning. What's making you smile?
Well, as a former U.S. alumnus, long ago, I proudly support all Gator athletes, but I'm really excited and smiling because the U.S. volleyball players are starting their season as well. It's not just about football, and I played volleyball for the Gators. So I'm happy and I'm smiling.
Nice.
Well, it's a nice reminder, too. Yeah, there are other sports besides football.
Uh-huh.
You want good, reasonably priced entertainment. Every single one of the college sports at University of Florida is worth it. I mean, the gymnastics we have, just all the programs are fantastic.
Amazing baseball field to go.
Yep.
And it's a fantastic little stadium there. That's awesome. We've been there multiple times.
It's a nice little blessing we have that we can avail ourselves to such fine, low-priced entertainment and high quality.
And kind of just a simple thing that made me smile. Went out to dinner after church yesterday. Was craving a steak and a baked potato. That happens. And ended up sitting in a booth right across from my friend Tony Love, who a lot of folks know. And
so you're showing him some love?
Yes, absolutely. And then kept seeing people from his church came strolling by. And then next thing you know, Sheriff Scott comes rolling by. So I did have to go over and say to Tony, "Excuse me, is this man bothering you? Do I need?"
He finally recognized you. For the awesome person that you are.
Well, yes, he did. So it was good to see.
He looked around. He looked around. He goes, "You didn't bring that Bob Rose character with you, did you?"
No, I did not. No, that was good to see Tony.
Yeah, we all get along fine.
Church folks and the sheriff. So that's
good.
Yeah, it's fun.
No, last time I saw him, give me a big old handshake. We were doing the Valor thing.
Oh, yeah. He enjoyed that.
We had all the big dogs in
all the sheriffs
in that house.
We had sheriffs and chiefs.
Sure,
and we had more brass than an ammo factory, I think.
Well, it makes me smile that I got to see my wonderful kids, all three of my babies, and their babies, well, Rihanna's babies.
Nice.
So two grandkids, three kids, and my sister from out of town.
Awesome.
So that definitely makes me smile. All right. Coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. Time now for the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. The Toronto Tempo unveiled a non-binary turtle mascot Tuesday named Dez, a Butch Borealis blue snapping turtle, and a companion named Dot, an Arctic hare. In other words, a rabbit, right? But they have to use she or her pronouns on this, and they even announced that Dez hails from Muskoka, Ontario, and has a fondness for softshell tacos and is a Taurus. I don't know how serious they want to take the whole mascot thing, because I think any kid over about four knows there's a person just wearing an outfit. So, but keep the fantasies going, folks. And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range of Micanopy. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. Have a great, safe day. See ya.